Good morning, and thank you for having me today. I'm Jamie Hamill, and I'm going to share our team's work on community efforts to reduce racial and ethnic health disparities, challenges and facilitators identified by 16 multi-stakeholder health alliances. So I have no disclosures. So the Aligning Forces for Quality program is the Robert Wood Johnson's 10-year initiative to lift the overall quality of healthcare in 16 targeted communities and provide models for national reform. This initiative is one of the largest privately funded quality improvement initiative. And the foundation gave the communities a lot of flexibility to decide how they were going to pursue their quality improvement and activities. And they had four emphasis areas. So they were performance, measurement and public reporting, consumer engagement, quality improvement, and to reduce racial and ethnic health disparities, which I will focus on. So the other requirement was to use a multi-stakeholder health alliance. So this is to bring together people that pay for care, provide care, and receive care. And the idea is that no one single organization can improve healthcare quality alone. So they were either alliances that applied for the funding either had these existing alliances or they established them for the grant. So communities were selected through a competitive process that ranged from entire states to urban and rural areas. All these communities were economically, geographically, and demographically diverse and actually covered about 12.5% of the U.S. population. So the focus on disparities has evolved throughout the program. In the first round of funding, there were no explicit requirements to focus on disparities reduction. But in the second round of funding, the foundation asked the alliances to focus on collecting race, ethnicity, and language data at the point of care. And I'll refer to this as REL data collection. And then in the third round of funding, they asked alliances to focus on stratifying REL by performance and quality measures. And then in their last round of funding, which they're in right now, they asked the communities to start to implement interventions to target and reduce health disparities based on their data. So our study aims for the evaluation was to identify major challenges that the multi-stakeholder alliances faced while implementing disparities reduction efforts and to describe the major facilitators that help them with their efforts as well. So our methods we used, we conducted semi-structured interviews with alliance directors and disparity staff leads from all 16 AF4Q communities from 2010 to 2013. We also reviewed the proposals and reports that they submitted to the foundation regarding their progress. For the qualitative data analysis, we used deductive and inductive coding and then compared and categorized themes based on facilitators and barriers. So we identified three major findings related to challenges and facilitators. The first one was data collection and measurement. The third was prioritizing disparities reduction efforts. And the third was developing and maintaining stakeholder engagement. So first I will discuss challenges related to data collection and measurement. So one of our main findings was that early progress in measuring disparities was slow due to concerns regarding data accuracy, availability, and completeness. The majority of communities expressed concerns around accuracy and consistency, as well as concerns getting available data at the local level. And about half of the alliances expressed concerns with limiting their assessment only to REL disparities. We also found that some alliances were unable to follow best practices for REL data collection to accurately assess their disparities in their community. Best practices included ensuring that the data they were collecting at the point of care was self-reported by the patients and not self-assigned by clinic staff or providers, as also making sure that there was ongoing training for staff to collect this data, and also booster sessions to make sure that it was consistently trained over staff turnover. Also, making sure that the communities use consistent categories. A lot of the communities use the categories from the Office of Management and Budget to categorize race and ethnicity. And even though that some of the communities use these, they were didn't always tailor them for their community demographics, giving patients all exhaustive options to identify their race and ethnicity. So this created some pitfalls for some communities. For example, one community stated, "The primary problem is that we have a number of patients who don't self-identify with a race and a Hispanic ethnicity. We're getting a lot more missing data on race, especially among patients who are of Hispanic ethnicity, because they're used to Hispanic or Latino being a race category. If they don't self-identify with one of those available race options, it's an issue." So next, Alliances encountered many challenges trying to generate a comprehensive list or a comprehensive and local source of REL data. So a lot of the time, the health plan data actually lacks race, ethnicity, and language, except for Medicaid. And a lot of the time, there's inconsistencies across electronic health record data, as also paper source medical records. And then if Alliances were able to get multiple sources of data, once again, there were inconsistencies across the categories, there were privacy concerns, and as well as interconnectivity challenges for them to really be able to merge all their data sources to identify health disparities across race, ethnicity, and language. And third, the Foundation's initial focus on REL disparities actually didn't meet all the needs of the Alliance. So some communities lack small numbers of racial and ethnic minorities to actually get statistically significant reliable estimates to show health disparities. And some communities thought that assessing disparities by socioeconomic status was an easier sell in their communities. Mainly, they felt this because sometimes in communities, race can be a sensitive issue, and they thought that they could get more buy-in by focusing on SES. And also, sometimes the providers and staff felt uncomfortable asking patients their race and ethnicity. They didn't want patients to be offended or feel concerned about what the providers were going to do with this information. And also, a lot of the time, SES data is more readily available by assessing Medicaid status and insurance status, which patients are used to being asked. So one community said, "We also pushed back a little in bit of terms of the definition of race, ethnicity, and language as being the only way to define disparities. Since we have a very small number of different races and different ethnicities here in our community, we would really like to look at economic disparities." So some communities were actually successful at collecting at data collection and measurement. So first, some communities really thought access to technical assistance was an available resource. So the Foundation actually provided all the Alliances with technical assistance by providing them support and training for REL data collection, and also funded learning collaboratives for the Alliances to come together and share best practices about what worked for them and what didn't work. Also, a few of our communities were able to access community-based TA through their regional extension centers, and these centers really helped them implement REL data collection as a part of fulfilling meaningful use requirements, as well as helping them supporting their data analysis. Another facilitator for these Alliances with data collection and measurement was the established infrastructure that existed in their communities and also external initiatives that helped propel their efforts forward. So a lot of the communities that did have EMRs that captured REL within their hospitals and health systems or provider offices really laid a foundation for these Alliances to come together and work to collect REL data, as well as partnering with Medicaid was very helpful. External initiatives such as meaningful use requirements and starting community health assessments also really helped lay a foundation for the Alliances to move forward with their data collection. Next, I'll talk about prioritizing disparities reduction. So competing national priorities and healthcare trends created challenges for advocating for disparity reduction efforts. For example, the alliances, you know, the initiative started in 2006, and the Affordable Care Act was signed in 2008. So this happened in midst of their funding. So there was a lot going on for these alliances, and besides working on this program, they were maybe helping with Medicaid expansion or setting up health exchanges. So there's a lot of noise in the healthcare environment. So it was really hard for them to prioritize maybe their disparities initiatives, as well as they may have been working on new payment models such as pay-for-performance or creating accountable care organizations within their communities. One community stated, oftentimes there are multiple issues that face a community, and I think sometimes the priority is not easily given early to disparity issues. Not that everybody isn't aware of it, but oftentimes I think the priority goes to where the trend in healthcare is. So some communities were really able to prioritize their disparity reduction work. For example, some of these federal initiatives really were synergistic to their work, such as meaningful use was a real catalyst to REL data collection. And the ACA really created new funding partnerships and opportunities for them through partnering on community health assessments, Medicaid expansion, and also collaborating with their local public health departments and their state Medicaid offices. So next I'll talk about developing and maintaining stakeholder engagement. So alliances without pre-existing partnerships with community organizations representing minority and underserved populations really struggled to bring stakeholders to the table. When this initiative started, the multi-stakeholder alliances really weren't built with disparities reduction in mind. So if they didn't have these pre-existing relationships, they struggled to identify key partners and to engage these key partners to tackle REL disparities. One community stated, we had challenges with identifying leadership in the community to be able to help inform and guide our work, and it's really important that these initiatives be representative of the community, and I do think that's been a challenge and a struggle for us. Some communities were actually very successful at engaging stakeholders. Several alliances were able to leverage pre-existing partnerships with community organizations representing minority and underserved populations. For example, one of the alliances in Cleveland had someone on their leadership board from a federally qualified health center. So they were really able to take a lot of activities and implement them in their federally qualified health centers. In Memphis, they had previously worked with Black churches in their community and were able to implement and create diabetes and hypertension education within these churches. And in Maine, Medicaid had worked with Medicaid previously and really focused on quality improvement activities and implementing patient-centered medical homes within the Medicaid population. So implications and recommendations from our evaluation are standardizing REL data collection and incorporating disparities indicators into established data infrastructure can improve disparities assessments by providing resources and training, such as onboarding training and booster sessions to collect self-reported data, to make sure you tailor measurement categories to match community demographics, and including SES as other measures to assess disparities, and to improve integration in electronic health record and other data collection mechanisms to streamline and merge data. Second, it's really important that communities leverage their resources to support their disparities reduction efforts by collaborating with their public health departments, regional extension centers, or other data institutions, as well as working with Medicaid. And finally, early engagement of key representatives and inclusion in strategic planning and leadership is critical to build support and drive their efforts forward. So I would like to acknowledge our disparities and equity evaluation team at Penn State and Northwestern that helped me with this work, as well as our overall evaluation team and funding from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And this is a really long initiative, so if you want to learn more, there's the website, and you can email me any questions if I don't get them today. So thank you so much for your time and letting me come and share our work with you.